The reason you're worrying about stuff God has already worked out, the reason you keep worrying is because of the way you keep thinking. Verse 12, it is God that works in you. Not only my presence, now which my eyes continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And you're like, okay. No, go back to verse 12. You stop there. Church, that's a comma. I feel like I'm a multitasking preacher. I talk about fitness, English grammar, theology, parenting, recipes, tomatoes. Work it all in. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, if you read that, you will be worried. Because you are trying to work out something without God. Okay. What gets me tripped up every time that I get overwhelmed, and I'm not talking about just having butterflies or getting nervous, I think all that is good. But when I get overwhelmed to the point where it really shuts me down, you know how there's that line between when you're working on something and it's wearing you out? And you realize, this feels kind of cyclical because it's making me sick. If that's where you are in the feeling, read what comes after the comma. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. So that's a very interesting thought, isn't it? It is God who works in you. Don't forget that while you work it out. Don't forget that. So don't get so good at trying to figure stuff out on paper that you forget to work stuff out according to purpose. Because the Bible said it is God that works in you to will and to do according to his good purpose. So God starts with the purpose, not the person. And then he finds the person that will accomplish that purpose. And he shapes the person that will accomplish that purpose. And that's why you can know God is working on you right now and working in you. And so when you sit down, I will never forget sitting down to work on something one time. And I'll tell you exactly what it was because I think it's a great illustration. I had the opportunity several years ago to interview Bishop T.D. Jakes right here on this stage at Elevation Church. And I was so honored to do it. He is my preaching hero. And he's my friend now too, but you know, if someone is your hero, even if they're your friend, you still get really nervous, even if it's not their fault. I was so nervous to interview that man because I wanted to do a good job for him. I wanted to do a good job. He was promoting a book called Soar, S-O-A-R, not like lifter soar, like soar like a eagle. Anyway, And I sat down for weeks beforehand, and I would work, but mostly I would worry. It wasn't like I was getting anything done. By the time I got done just being a complete stress ball for several weeks, I think I counted 75 note cards of questions to ask the man about the book. And everybody would say, "Aren't you excited to interview Bishop Jakes?" And I'd be like, yeah. Excitement and anxiety can kind of feel the same sometimes. And what you call it depends on what you're focused about. And when I look back on it, I regret all of the stress that I felt from the pressure that wasn't even real. The fact of the matter is, he could have had anybody interview him for the book. He wanted me to do it. He could have gone anywhere he wanted. He didn't go to Oprah. He came to Furtick. He didn't come to Dr. Phil. He came to Dr. Furtick. But I couldn't feel that way about it because I feel like, what am I going to ask him? He's so smart. The very reason I was stressed was the very reason I should have relaxed. Not 5 minutes after we got on this stage and he sat in his chair and I sat in mine. And I had my whole stack, right? And I said my first question to him. 20 minutes later, I still had 74 questions left. And the interview is only 90 minutes. And I remember in that moment, it's Bishop. He's good at talking. All this time I've been thinking about this. Like, I got to carry it. And what am I going to do if my questions are stupid? And what if the people look at me funny? And what if I mispronounce the word? And what if he doesn't sell any books? And what if he never wants to talk to me again? And what if I accidentally say something that wasn't intended to be offended, but I was just trying to be casual and it came across as disrespectful? And all of this to interview one of the greatest talkers in the world. The only thing I had to do to be successful in the interview was this. You know, just a reverse nod for variety and effect. But between those two nods, and he had it covered. I see you stressing about something in your life today. Don't know what it is, don't need to, God knows. I see you playing out the situation over and over again. You call it preparation, but it's not preparation, because it is eating through your peace. And here you are thinking, well, when I get to that in 3 weeks, it's going to be terrible. Oh, when my kids become teenagers, they are yet toddlers. You got 12 years to read books about this crap you're going to be dealing with. And by then, all the books will be saying different stuff than they say today. I see you looking at a situation in the future of your life, and you are afraid. And I'll tell you why you are afraid. You forgot God is going to be there when you get there. I remember, Bishop's going to be there. He's a good talker. I wish you would remember with all the scenarios you're playing out in your mind and all the ways that could go wrong and all of the stuff that you're scrolling through starting to talk about, is it another world war? Well, what you going to do about it if it is? You going to go fight in it? Whatever happens, you're going to have God. You're going to have God. If it's a prison, he'll be your cellmate. You're going to have God. Oh, yeah. I forgot. Tell your neighbor, I forgot. I'm going to have God in it with me. That's why I'm not stressed about retirement, because I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor is seed begging for bread. God is going to be in this with me. God is going to be in the challenge with me. God is going to be in the uncertainty. God's going to walk in that doctor's office with me. God's going to be on the other side of this painful breakup with me. God's going to be with me when I make my first appointment with the counselor. God's going to be with me when I show up back first day to school and I'm 27. God's going to be with me when I open up my finances and begin to get it in order and humble myself. I forgot about God. That's why I was shaking. That's why I was trembling. But I'm not trembling anymore, because I'm trusting that when I get there. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I'll give it back. My bracelet fell off. But let me work it in real quick. Let me work it in real quick. There's some stuff that needs to come off of you in this season. It happened, so I might as well work it in. It happened, so I might as well work it in. There are some things in your life that you need to stop stressing about at a level that assumes that you're going to have to do it alone. I never get stressed about a sermon if I remember, oh yeah, God's going to be there. And just like Bishop's pretty good at talking, God's pretty good at godding. How about that? I'm so tired of hearing people saying life be lifing. God be godding. Don't quote me on that. That's so corny. But I think sometimes we take the journey in our mind as if God's not going to be there. That was so profound for me when I realized it. It's like, have you ever been going in a situation and you were so stressed and then you remembered, oh, yeah, they're going to be there. And the person that you thought of, now, there are some times where you're going into a situation and you remember they are going to be there. And boy, then you really are reaching for the prescription pills because, whoa. But there's other people. Like, I know for Holly, when Amy is going to be there when you're preaching or recording, there's certain things you don't have to worry about. And she's going over to get ready, and I can see she's stressed. She's like, I'm good. Amy's going to be there. And she just realizes, there's things that I don't even have to think about because she's good at, we've been together so long. She's going to take care of some stuff so I can just focus on what I need to do. I hear the Lord saying, I'm going to be there. Even if Paul can't. Even if nobody else does. Even if you've never been there before. I only needed 3 note cards and 2 nods. And that, just like the devil, Joyce Meyer said, worry is down payment on a problem you may never even have. And that, just like the devil charging you for stuff that you don't even need, that you didn't even order. So he said, work this thing out. But you don't need 75 note cards. Just make sure the mic is on. Nod your head. I think as simple as this sounds sometimes, to just assume that God is going to be there, we should just sit in it for a minute. What would it change about the situation that you're afraid of facing if you knew God was going to be there? One time when they got so big on cancel culture, I thought, well, what if they just cancel me? And then God said, how many people were you preaching to when I called you? And the answer was 5. And the Lord said, well, surely you can find at least 5 that'll come listen to you if they cancel you. The whole earth? You can find 5. You can find 5. And the fact is that whatever happens in your life before it even happens to you, God already has a way to work it in. Now, I didn't make this bracelet fall off. It just happened. I worked it in. I worked it in. You remember when we were at Elevation Nights in Oakland? 2022. Now, the reason they're laughing when I said Oakland, they're not like West Coast prejudice or anything like that. I don't want you to think. When we got to Oakland for Elevation Nights, this was 2022, I will never forget this night. Now, when you preach at Elevation Nights, we're going into these big arenas, like basketball arenas and stuff, right? And they're always telling me, this is the NBA team that plays here. I don't care about basketball. I don't care about any of that. I just care about serving him. No, actually, I'm looking. What bands came here? Oh, the Rolling Stones were here. That's cool to me. I don't care who played basketball here. But when we were in Oakland, I don't know what made me wear that big heavy jacket that night. I remember wearing this big heavy jacket. I'm up preaching, and there's a lot of distractions because it's not like a church service where y'all are so attentive, even watching online right now. You're just at Elevation Nights, it's like a concert and then a sermon. And some of the people that got there, they got totally like bait and switch. They had no idea they were going to have to sit through a sermon. They thought it was just music. So I am like a total buzzkill for the whole room. But in Oakland, it was going pretty good. And, you know, you have to work around the distractions. This guy's over here eating popcorn and chicken fingers. Did she have a beer while we're singing Trust in God? You know, you just all kinds of things going through your mind. Just all kind of distraction stuff. And you have to learn just to kind of like work around it, right? But a couple times on these nights, something happens that you can't work around. And in Oakland, something happened. I was in the middle of my sermon. I was preaching on Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. The message was called Surprise. And I was talking about Peter and John at the gate called Beautiful, and a man showed up, and he wasn't expecting to get healed, and they weren't expecting to be healers, but surprise. Right when I'm revving up, you know, I've gotten my background covered, all the lights in the whole arena go out. Not gradually, not dimmed, out. And so I'm thinking, huh, that's weird. They'll come back on in a minute. 6 minutes and 45 seconds. No, I'm not exaggerating. It felt like 6 years. It felt like 6 years because all the lights go out. And the first thing I think the whole audience thought was, oh, this is a part of his sermon. And so I tell them real quickly, I'm like, this is not a part of my sermon. And I'm standing up there, you know, 10 seconds goes by, 20 seconds goes by. I'm a professional, man. I've been doing this since I was 16. I've been doing this since I was in Monk's Corner, South Carolina. I can do this. I can hold this crowd for a minute. I can preach through this. But then it's 30 seconds, it's a minute, and you kind of run out of steam to stall, you know? How about those lights? And then it hit me. You don't know how long it's going to take for them to work this out. So work it in. I'm telling you the truth. With the lights off, I started preaching about when you're in a dark season. I started preaching about how Peter and John weren't always at the gate called Beautiful, but they had once been in a garden called Gethsemane, where the Savior of the world was facing the darkness of our sin. And what do you do when you're in the darkness of the Garden of Gethsemane and the lights are out all around you and you are uncertain? See, because I don't know how long it's going to take them to put the lights back on. So while I'm waiting for them to work it out, I'm trying to close this message. I really am. But there is somebody listening to me who's waiting for God to work it out. And God is saying back, while you're waiting in this dark season for me to work it out, for me to show you the next step, for me to give you the next crumb, for me to give you the next notice, for me to give you the next relationship, for me to turn this thing around, for the report to be positive, while you're waiting for me to work it out, work it in, work it in, work it in. I hear God saying, work it in, for it is God that works in you. It is God that works in you. And show them the video. About 5 minutes in, the people did something. The people had their phones out.
He tried to put me down in the pit.
Yeah.
He tried to take me out.
I didn't tell him to. They just did it.
He thought he could beat me. But God brought me here with 6,000 saints tonight.
Uh-huh.
Surprise.
Surprise.
Still
surprise. Yeah. Preach verdict. No force. Get your lights out. Give them a shout of praise. I said, give them a shout of praise. Are you a praiser? Are you a lifter? I think it's great.
Maybe that's the message God wanted me to preach.
Look at all those lights. Look at all that evidence. Look at all that praise. Hallelujah. Look at all of that strength. Look at all of that glory. From something we didn't see coming. Surprise. It's not what I ordered. But it's what God ordered. God is sovereign. God ordered my steps. God is in this with me. Get your light out. Get your light out. Get your light out. You had that light in your pocket the whole time, but you didn't need to work that light out until the light was absent. The absence became the opportunity for the illustration. Because while I'm waiting for God to work this out, I might as well work it in.
Hey, thanks for stopping by my YouTube channel. I hope you were blessed today. If you were, share this with somebody. Like and subscribe and leave me a comment. Let me know where you're watching from, what we can pray for you about. Hope to see you back here again really soon.